Today is the 6th day of October, 2014. And our continuing series, interviews with disciples and devotees. We are happy to have an old friend with us, Dr. Alok Pandey. Welcome, Alok.
Good evening, Narad. It's a great joy to be with you.
Thank you.
To just sit near you.
We have many things we would like to cover in the coming weeks, but I think this evening, perhaps you could tell us first a bit about your own background, and then if you can share with us how you came to know about Sri Aurobindo and Mother.
Let me start with the second part, because I think the stories of outer and inner lives are often interwoven in all of us. First time that I came to know of Mother was somewhere when I was in the college, Armed Forces Medical College, doing my medicine, undergraduate medicine. And it must be the year 1980. Yes, it was 1980. I just entered the final MBBS, and I started having some strange experiences. I am being very frank about it, because otherwise, you know, it remains disconnected. I may like to mention that before all this, as a child, I had a strange attraction for Krishna, so much so that as a baby, even up till 10 years of age, I would sleep with Krishna by my side. And I didn't want my parents to be near me, but I was very, very attached to Krishna, almost like an intimate friend. And my other leaning was towards Mother Saraswati. So I used to both participate very actively, pray to her, and do Gayatri mantras. That was one part of the inner life. And the outer life as a student was going on, as I got selected into various medical colleges and chose for Armed Forces Medical College, Pune. So like any other adolescent, I guess, a lot of questions used to come to my mind that what's life, what is the purpose, what is the larger picture, if any. And whatever I read, did not satisfy me. I read a lot of Indian literature, practically most of Indian literature, including the Vedas, various commentaries on the Gita, some of the Upanishads, Shankaracharya, and many other, Ramayana, of course, Mahabharata, Bhagavat Puran, and also quite a bit of Western literature. Swami Vivekananda's complete works, Sri Ramakrishna Paramahans, Gospel. And though I liked, you know, something in everything, but it didn't answer, it raised more questions. Like, you know, the karmic theory, that what is it that we do something in a previous life and get punished or rewarded? It's kind of absurd, you know, we don't even get to know why this is happening. So there were many questions. Then moksha appeared a very selfish thing. At the same time, if there is no divine, then the whole thing appeared absurd. So all this was going on. And at that point,
how old were you at that time?
All this adolescent, somewhere between 15 to 20. And many, many things. Like, I would take walk with an intimate friend every day, and we would share many such thoughts. So all this was going on, while on the outer side, my medical studies, which were, at least I found them fairly easy enough. And you know, that was one part of it going on. I used to be very fond of movies, so all this was the outer life, I guess, like anyone else. And then in my final year MBBS, for 15 nights continuously, every night I used to have what I now know, or after a few years I came to know, as an out-of-body experience. So I would suddenly experience as if my spine was twisting and turning like a rope. There would be a kind of sound associated with it, and suddenly then, after a while, I am projected into a different dimension where I would see there is a path, and on the left side there is a man who is approaching me, a fairly old man, something like, you know, a poor man. But he never, I mean, it was not fear or anything that induced, neither pity nor fear. And on the right side, I would see the image of a goddess seated on a white lotus. And I instinctively called her as Mother Saraswati, because that's how I associated her. And this happened for 15 days. So to reconnect with the story, it went on for 15 days every night, and then for a few minutes this would last, and then I would get back into the body, and suddenly there would be this heavy breathing and I would wake up. Now, you know, though I was very happy to see Mother Saraswati, but frankly I was, I didn't know what sense to make out of this. It was my first concrete encounter with what can be called as the other world in a very concrete way, objective way. But I also, you know, felt that, is it because, you know, I'm in the final year, I'm reading all these things. So all kinds of paradigms came into my scientific mind. But then after 15 days, this stopped. So this was one part of the journey, and it remained nascent. It went in the background. And frankly, I didn't pay much attention to it till much later. I got to see my first photograph of the mother, and then I realized that, well, one whom I had thought was Mother Saraswati was actually the mother. So it was a great, great discovery. Beautiful. So this was something very, very beautiful. And then for 2 years there was nothing, or rather for 1 year there was nothing. But again, toward the end of my internship in Kolkata, I had no I had a very religious background, but nobody who knew about Mother and Sri Aurobindo. My parents had a lot of faith in divine, and my father was a man of faith. So I always say that, you know, from a heredity point of view, he gave me the best heredity possible. He didn't leave much money, but he left faith, which was wonderful. So again, once in Kolkata, some of us friends, we had just gone out to the city to see some movie, and I just felt, no, I am not in a mood to see a movie, I'll get back to the hospital. So I was during internship, and as I was returning, I just saw a place where it was written some painting exhibition. So I walked in to see a painting exhibition, but they told me it's over. So I just walked into the place just like that, like a casual visitor, and I walked into the courtyard where I saw the bust of Sri Aurobindo, and it happens to be, you know, the place where Sri Aurobindo was born. Again, I had no clue about it as I went there. But when I saw Sri Aurobindo's bust, the first thought that came to my mind crossed like this: it is the most perfect human form ever upon earth. That's it. That was a sentence. And I sat down to meditate. It was such a bliss. And I don't remember when I came out and how I walked back. Like a fool, I did not even notice what exact place is it, you know, so that later on I could go back. I didn't know it is Sri Aurobindo I have seen. So
was there any connection with the old man in your vision?
No, that I came to know much later, who that old man represented. In fact, I didn't even try to understand it. For me, the Saraswati part was far more interesting and intriguing. So anyway, so it was strange. Again, Sri Aurobindo came and gave me a glimpse, and again he hid himself. Another couple of years passed, and then came the concrete touch. So by then, I had become an agnostic. I started believing that maybe, you know, all this salvation and all this is too selfish. I don't want to go into this direction. And worldly life, the kind of aims, they don't interest me much. But maybe I can be a good human being and a good doctor. That was enough for me. That was the limit of what I would like to be. And I had just got married 6 months, and I was on posting from Jorhat to Patiala. No, Jorhat to Bikaner. And on the way, we stopped at Kolkata. In Kolkata, that day, I mean, it's an amazing day, and casually in Connaught Place, I entered a shop called Bookworm, where I suddenly saw this book, The Synthesis of Yoga, Sri Aurobindo. And you know, I'm just wondering, after seeing that name, did something. And I'm wondering, who is this yogi I have not read? Because I had an impression that I have read almost all the yogis and great men. And I said, who is this yogi I have not read, who has written about yoga? So I took that book and opened, and it was written, All Life is Yoga. And it was like a mantra that I have found it. I can't describe. It was like an aha feeling. Here is my answer. So I picked up that book feeling such a joy that I cannot really recount that joy. What for I felt a joy. That evening I met a friend of mine who was my college mate, who is right now in New York, and he's a psychiatrist. He was going to fly off to New York in a couple of days, and it was like our last meeting before he flies off. And that evening, again, something interesting happened. As a parting gift, he gives to me The Secret of the Vedas by Sri Aurobindo. And he tells me that, you know, I wanted to give you The Synthesis of Yoga. And I said, I have got it. And I tell you, every chapter that I read after that was not just an answer. Then I thought, I am experiencing these chapters. Now I know it was like a glimpse which was given. You know, experience is a very big word. But that time I would slip into these states, and my wife got a little worried. My in-laws got worried, what's happening to him? And it was so wonderful. Every chapter that I would read it, it was like, ah, this is it. And well, then the rest, so many things happened. So many, whole life has been a journey of grace and mother's love. What more can I say? Now, one more thing which I may like to add, you know. This was, of course, reading Sri Aurobindo. Then, till then, I didn't know about mother. So, you know, these books, that especially old-time books, they don't even carry a little life sketch of Sri Aurobindo. So you don't know. All that you see is that published there in Pondicherry, and it doesn't connect anything, you know. And then suddenly Sri Aurobindo started coming from every side. Wherever I would go, somebody would suddenly talk about it, or on a table I would see something from Sri Aurobindo. Somebody's home, I would see Sri Aurobindo's picture, many such things. One day I tuned into the radio and there was a program on Auroville. Everything was pushing in that direction. So seeing my intensity of feelings, my wife suggested, why don't you find out if he is still there or not there, and how do you go? So I said, that's a good idea. So I checked out and I saw that, you know, I have Pondicherry is the place where there is an ashram. That's that much I could find out. Those were days when Google search, at least I was not aware of Google search. So I found out that, yes, there is an ashram, and I can go there and find out rest for myself. During that time, I got a trip to Bangalore for a brief course for 4 weeks. And I had to find a place for stay. So looking for a place to stay, I again chanced into a Sri Aurobindo center near Alsur Lake. I don't know if you have been there or not. It's a lovely place. Now relics are there. And as I entered the place, I entered because it was a beautiful place. And again, it was written Nature's Art Gallery or something like that. So I was drawn to that. I didn't know there are Sri Aurobindo centers. So I just chanced and walked into one of the rooms. And I saw mother's photograph. Now the strange part is, the photograph that I have seen and I recollect till date. Later on I came to know that photograph was never there. But whatever it be, they had some other photographs of Sri Aurobindo.
Sitting or standing in the lotus?
Sitting. No, not the same photograph on the lotus.
Oh.
I saw a photograph where she is sitting on the chair, but only this much bust is there. But I know it's the sitting photograph because later on I know all the photographs. So as a student bowed down before her, it was something very strange, and it's a bit of humor in it. You know, for 3 years during my internship, I had got into the habit of smoking. You know, it's one of those things you pick up as a young doctor, and then I was trying to get rid of it and tried many things, changing brands, having expensive brands, keeping just two or three at my home, not keeping at home, but I just couldn't get rid of it. And as I stood before her, after a long time, I suddenly bored. I don't know, because I had developed this feeling that why should one bow to a human guru? You know, humans are humans and God is God. But suddenly I bowed. And somewhere above the head, if I may say so, I heard a command. And the command is a strange command, because people hear lovely commands. I got a command, stop smoking. And the beauty is that it was not just a command, but the power came with it. And as I walked out, I was a free man, never felt the urge. And I even tried, I was trying to remember that how come I'm not feeling the urge to smoke. That's it. So that was my first assignment.
So you were in Bangalore.
Yes.
When did you first come to Pondicherry, to the ashram?
Okay. So then I was in Bangalore and I gathered all the information. I stayed in that place and many things happened, but my wife had not turned towards Mother and Sri Aurobindo. She comes from a lineage of Sikh gurus, you know, they are followers of Radha Swamis. And I believe that each person should be free to follow. So I never told her that, you know, you have to follow. And she never came in my way, but she was not really interested. So, like, you know, if I would read something on Mother and Sri Aurobindo, she would be, you know, watching television or reading something else, it was fine. But on our first marriage anniversary, so as I said, after 6 months, I came to know of the book. Within few months, I came to Bangalore, another 3-4 months. And on our first marriage anniversary, when I was in Bangalore, she said, okay, let me also come and join the Swadhyaya session with Dr. Maheshwari. Dr. Maheshwari had come there. And while he started reading on the mother, from the mother, she had an amazing experience of seeing the mother everywhere. And she started crying and crying and crying. And I wondered, what's gone wrong with her? Has she gone crazy? And I asked Dr. Maheshwari, he said, no, no, let her sit. For a couple of hours, she kept sitting in the room. And then she came out and then she said what happened to her. So for me, it was, for her, of course, it was very special. For me, it was a golden gift on our first marriage anniversary. And it was like, you know, this resolved so many difficulties, because otherwise, you know very well, you know, if the wife doesn't walk with you on the path, it can be so, so difficult. So this was one thing which happened. And then very soon we took the journey to Pondicherry. But now, interesting thing that happened was that she doesn't believe in avatars and all. And I also, as I said, you know, at that point of time, I didn't believe in, you know, that worship and, you know, bowing to a human guru. So all these ideas were there. So divine has a wonderful sense of humor as always. So as we landed on the bus stand, suddenly an auto rickshaw came and he said, Auroville? And we didn't know the difference between Auroville and ashram. We said, yes, we were so happy. And then he said, Matri Mandir? We said, yes, not knowing anything. Only to realize that he dropped us around maybe early morning, 5 o'clock, in the middle of nowhere. And we are wondering, where is this mandir and where are we? And of course, we stayed for 2 days, went around Auroville, loved it, and came back, not knowing that we have not been to the ashram. And I would say so happily, you know, such a wonderful place. You don't even have a samadhi of Mother and Sri Aurobindo. For me, it was like, you know, so beautiful, because even that is not there. Nobody to worship. See how they were playing with me. And I didn't realize what I missed that time. And people were, then some of them said, what? Samadhi? But of course, there is samadhi. I said, no. So then, you know.
What year was this, Alok?
This is 85. And then, you know, naturally, after a little conversation, I realized that I went somewhere else. But I was very happy. So I didn't know what I missed. Honestly, it didn't strike me that I must make a trip again to the ashram. But very soon, within a month, another course came. I was again back to Bangalore. And 18th, 19th, 20th June, I had 3 days. So I thought, I have come, let me go to Pondicherry. So not realizing the significance of birthday, on 18th evening, I reached Pondicherry. And Maheshwariji I met, because he was the only person I knew. And I have not told him that tomorrow is my birthday. So I didn't know, I mean, what's the big deal about it? So we were sitting on the seashore, and I asked him that I want to just go down and sit for a while. And you know, those days it was all rocky.
Oh, yes.
So I just sat for a while, and I had a nice, interesting, again, it was a vision, experience. I saw certain things. I was in mother's lap, and Kavita was also there, my wife. And
Ah.
when I came back, I was puzzled. What did I see? Did I see? Did I imagine? All this started happening. So as I was climbing up, I suddenly slipped, maybe because I was not conscious. And while I was slipping and falling on the rocks, I actually experienced some hand breaking it like a strobe effect. And I was experiencing delight. I was lying on rocks, not a scratch. And I felt like a flower is placed. And I was experiencing a lot of happiness inside, strangely, because of course of the touch. Now I understand all
And
this.
those slippery rocks,
Yeah.
very
But
dangerous.
Maheshwari ji saw suddenly a head vanish, and he shouted, "Alok!" And then I came back to my normal state, and I said, "I'm fine." I got up, nothing. So I explained to him, told him all that happened, and Chandradeep ji was that time coming on the seashore, taking a walk, and he said, "Why don't you tell him what you experienced?" So I told him. He said, "Why don't you ask your wife? Did she experience something at that moment?" So I asked her later on, and I came to know she was wearing the same sari, and she had a terrible, headache, and she felt she's going to die. And around the same time, it all vanished, that thought and the headache and everything. But that apart, next day, without knowing the significance of birthday, I go to the ashram and I see this line, and I ask them, "Where is it going to Aurobindo's room?" So first time I have gone to Aurobindo's room on my birthday without knowing the significance of birthday. It's only later on that. So for me, it's so wonderful that if anybody asks me, "When did you come to the ashram on my birthday?" So my birthday is also the same day. And then, I came to know what I missed, and it was finished. Like, since then, it's just mother, mother, mother. What can I say? But I realized how foolish man can be, how stupid his intellect can be. And when we think we are so great that we don't bow before a human being, and we feel that not worshipping is a sign of superiority, it's such a sign of sheer idiocy. I mean, but that all that I came to know after reaching Pondicherry.
And when did you move here?
Well, in a way, after that, I would say something of mine just stayed. I mean, she just took me in such a way and made me connect with the work. So after that, Patiala, I was fully involved with the center. It's all a story of one wonder after another. I mean, inner and outer. I mean, it's a book of wonders. I'll just share with you two things. One, when I was taking a walk in Patiala, and obviously that aspiration was born. And I'm thinking, why doesn't he come to us? Why is he so far? Why does one have to do so much sadhana? And suddenly I felt the descent of a concrete peace. And everything suddenly became very far off, the trucks and vehicles. It was a narrow road, mind you, and it was a strange experience. But the beauty of it was that though I had aspired for it, my wife also got the same experience, which we shared later on. It was like an objective, scientifically verified thing, that something concrete which can contaminate things around. We were going to watch a movie after the walk, but obviously we couldn't watch the movie. We didn't feel hungry. We didn't eat anything. We were feeling so blissful and peaceful. So we just slept off till next day morning, 10 o'clock. This experience remained, and slowly it receded into the background. But it prepared a ground for what was going to come next. I got into, just serving her. And she put me in so many ways, so much so that I started wondering whether I should do it or not. And I prayed and prayed that give me a sign that I am meant for this kind of work. And I had a very clear, experience with mother, direct mother coming and blessing. It's a long thing, the nature of work, what it is to be done. And then it was no looking back, and it was like some way or the other I was connected to ashram. I would come three or four times a year, all my leave, so much so that I would frankly tell lies to my parents that I don't have leave, because otherwise they expect me to come there. We had many funny things in the process. I have done, they wanted letters every week, so if I would send from Pondicherry, they would see it. So I would write letters, weekly letters, leave it with my friend who would post it every week so that they know I am fine. Luckily there were no telephones to inquire too much.
He was posted
From Bangalore to Pune. So various places I went around, and I would just come here, and it was like, this is it. And everything else became secondary. And obviously everybody in our life, both my side and parents, wife's side, they all obviously didn't appreciate it. I mean, they were fine that you're following a spiritual path. But it's like being crazy that, my parents would say, we have so many gods. Okay, Shobindo is a rishi. But why do you have to think of going to Pondicherry, settling there? Because all this started then and there. But I tried to get release. And even my superiors told me that, look, we have given you, you have such a brilliant background. Such lovely marks, and we have been giving you 9 out of 10 in your annual confidential reports. How do we recommend that you get released from service? But then, it happened, and it happened after many years. Meanwhile, Yuyutsu got admission, my son.
I see.
So she and Yuyutsu shifted here in 1995, but I had to be around for still another 7-8 years. Eventually in 2003 I came here for good, but before that I was so much involved with the work, Namaha, going out with talks, workshops, in Delhi I was fully connected with the ashram and the work. At one point of time Taradi told me, you stay here, you live here and go for work from here. So they just made sure that wherever I am posted, my life was Mother and Sri Aurobindo. And that's because of her grace. Otherwise, I can't imagine such postings where, and I was thrown into the work. So, in a sense, I was rooted here.
Who did you know of any of the elders in the ashram? Did you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I didn't know. Frankly, I mean, I didn't know anybody. The first one I came to know is Dr. Maheshwari, as I said, on our first marriage anniversary. Yes. By then I had already turned. But in my dream, I have seen, I have been taken by Nalnida wearing pajama and a shirt. I didn't know he's Nalnida. Later on I came to know. To show the inner ashram. And all that he told me, some people are here, not there, some are there. I thought it's an answer to my query that why am I outside? But later on, I came to know he has written about the inner ashram and the outer ashram. Yes. And I was reading Mother and Sri Aurobindo like anything. So they were my world. Even for my MD exams, I'm reading Mother and Sri Aurobindo. I finished their works, finished Nalinikant Gupta later on. Every work possible, which was available that time. I mean, it was like a fire. And then the first person I think I met was Dhuman Bhai. And it was very strange. Later on, I came to know he's... We shared the birthday, and later on also there was an exchange of greetings. But I remember standing in the queue, and suddenly he came and held me by the hand and took me to his room. He said, I like you very much, come with me. And I just didn't know who is he. But that was nice. I mean, it was a nice feeling. And he gave me, the mother in Sri Aurobindo's facsimile writing, which he used to give. Then he gave me one, mother in Sri Aurobindo's those... special folders which were made, I think, on Mother's Centenary. And 3-4 times he has done this. And then there was no further interaction he would give me. And once he asked me a little bit about myself, and I said, I'm with the Air Force. Oh, I like it very much. That was it. And the other person I came to know was Champaklalji, and that I had very, very beautiful experiences because I had a time to be with him for 1 hour a day for almost 20 days. And that was amazing. So many things. I mean, we all know who he is. But my first encounter with Champaklalji was when we went for Sri Aurobindo's room darshan. By then, we had started coming. And then I remember they asked me Champaklal also, because, you know, there was that place where he used to also be there, and there used to be something like a Champaklal Darshan, and they would write C, Bansidharji. I said, yes. So I, till then I didn't know. That was my first encounter. So after Shirmindo's room darshan, we went into Champaklalji's, you know, his darshan. And as I stood in front, he, I am told, did not allow to touch his feet. Both of us touched his feet, and it was amazing. I mean, if I may use a modern phrase, mind-blowing. It was like his, it's not a body, but all light. Both of us felt it. My wife burst crying. And I felt that everything vanished except a point in the center of my heart. There was no other eye. So, and then he gave those flowers and blessings, and again, whole day, no appetite for anything, just bliss and peace. That was my first encounter. Apart from them, I haven't really met anyone much. I mean, later on, I came to know many seniors, Arbinda, but not only the, as I said, in fact, three, four times I have had. Yes, so I didn't meet anyone of that generation.
But he was already gone when he gave you the experience.
Yeah, he was already, the body was gone. I think so, 86.
Yes.
This experience I had in 87, if I'm not mistaken, around, 87, because I remember the New Year music. So, so some of these people I met later on, of course, anyone coming from the ashram would come to our place, stay there, even have dinner there. Among the present ones, Parikshita has come, Richard has come, quite a few people have come like that. They would come, and we used to feel such a joy that somebody has come from the ashram. So it was like, you know, always felt part of the ashram, and so many things happened. The life was centered around her, and all because of her grace. I couldn't have imagined a more beautiful life where being outside from morning till night, it was she or her work. That's it.
When did you first receive the inspiration, if I might say, to speak on Sri Aurobindo and Mother?
Well, I didn't receive any inspiration. I used to stay, I love to stay in the background. Even now, I am very reticent, but it's a kind of destiny. So the first time it happened was when Taradi, she has an eye. I think Taradi and Vijay Bhai have been that way prepared to pick up people, something they know intuitively. So Taradi suddenly one day in Delhi Ashram, 96, when I was sitting there on tea, she said, why don't you take a camp in Nainital? I said, Taradi, I mean, I am not, you know, the kind who would take camps and all. And frankly, I didn't much believe in talking and all. Honestly, I never used to go to hear anyone. So it was a paradox. She said, no, no, you take something on health and spirituality. So I said, okay, fine. I mean, I reluctantly agreed after a little bit of coaxing. And myself and Dr. Anand Kumar, another friend from All India Institute, so jointly we took a camp. It was called A Spiritual Way to Healthy Heart. And then she said, no, no, on Sunday also, why don't you give a talk one of the Sundays in the ashram? So I started it. But then I started developing this doubt that should I do it or should I not? Because though a lot of people liked it, but you know, I was aware of the dangers of such a thing. And I had to be very, very careful about the ego part. I used to write a lot spontaneously. Lot of things would come. For us, I could write spontaneously. But I never wanted to publish anything because I thought, you know, it's all a play of ego, honestly. So then once I had quite a few of these experiences, whenever I would put to the mother this question, I would open Savitri, which I loved reading, or prayers and meditation, or inwardly, or I'll see a dream that, yes, this is a work, one of the work given to you. But still I wanted something very concrete because I saw I was getting more and more pushed into it without my wanting it. Not once have I wanted to or told that I want to take this camp or go for this talk, not even once. So then one day I had a very strange experience of actually I saw the mother and I that time my soul spoke out to her that I want to do your work. I was doing it, but I didn't know this is my aspiration.
Yes.
I want to serve you. Both these things. And she said, it is very difficult. I said, Mother, but I want to do this. See, again, she said, it is very difficult. Third time when I said, I want to serve you, she said, look and see. So I saw suddenly people from all over the world around her. And she said, this is the kind of work you have to do. Now, that time it was like in this one sentence, she had compressed everything. And then with gratitude, I burst into crying and she took me into her arms. And you know, like after a while, I just experienced that I am inside her. So then that was very clear that this is one of the work that she has given me. But till then, I had never traveled, not traveled abroad or gone beyond Nainital and some talks here and there. But after that, it all started without my asking, without my wanting, without any clue about anything, without even a wish to go anywhere. And you know, I'm not the type who loves to travel much or see places. How I met HP, just as an aside, Chandresh was the one who first called me to US for that Redwood conference. So suddenly, San Francisco, suddenly HP, I met this man and he tells me, have you been to San Francisco? I said, no. You haven't seen the city? I said, no, I haven't. You want to go? I said, no, nothing particular. I'm fine here. No, no, come. And you know how he is? He made me sit in his car. Within the next, I don't know, 2 hours or 3 hours or 4 hours, he took me through a crash tour of San Francisco, brought me back. So that's how I am. I really don't feel like going. But it's a strange destiny that now I have traveled these five continents. It's her work. And there's a great joy in doing it as long as she wants me to do it. And honestly, it's just a trust that she has given me and I take it like that. Yeah. I don't think I am worthy of all the grace and love that she has poured. And once I asked this question to Maheshwariji, he said, you know, that's why it is grace. Grace is something which is not given because you deserve it. So I said, that's good. So that's my mantra. I know I am not worthy, but your grace and love is infinite, and always I am reminded of a beautiful line from Tulsidas, you know, which I read long back in Ramayana. He tells Lord Rama, he says, a master like you and a slave like me, Rama so Swami, kusevak moso, a horrible slave, bad slave like me. If you look at my defects, you will never keep me near. But if you look at your grace, which is infinite, then you will never let me go. So I know that it is just their infinite grace and love. And till date, till the hour, life is packed with wonders of her grace and love. And that's it. All other things are really just incidental.
You haven't really mentioned anything about experiences with Sri Aurobindo. Were there any?
Oh, quite a few.
Please, and, whatever you could share.
I'll share one, though this is not the peak experience. The peak experience is too intimate to share. It's amazing.
Yeah.
But I'll share another one where I was in Sri Aurobindo's room and Sri Aurobindo was walking with his fractured leg. And I am also there. Now, you know, I have tried to mentally think, could I be one of the attendants? But it doesn't fit. But it doesn't fit. So, you know, I have tried this exercise because he was in his room with the fractured leg. And he had put his arm around me and it's like he's walking. It's like, to use a stupid mental image, I am supporting him to walk, which is absurd, obviously, because he is supporting all of us. But sometimes the divine in his leela has this mood also.
Yes.
So then he goes and sits on his bed. And I asked him first, sir, tell me about the light of Brahman. I have addressed him like this, sir, tell me about the light of Brahman. And then he told me something. That part is not,
yes,
you know.
Yes.
And then I asked him again the same stupid question, Lord, why there is so much grace on me? And suddenly his face changed and he said, never question grace, just receive it. Never question grace, just receive it. So I have, after that, never tried to understand why there is so much grace. And I know it is with everyone. So one thing which I have tried my best, I really believe this grace is with everyone. Nobody is deprived of this love and grace. So I can't even say that it's true that initial couple of years I used to try to find and like an idiot feel that is there something by chance special about me? Till they knocked my head, put me back to senses. Don't even entertain such a thought remotely. Because grace is grace. And what are we human beings? If I really look at their infinity, it's like I give this simile sometimes in my talks. We are like straws floating on the ocean of their love. They carry us. So it's just grace. So quite a few experiences with Sri Aurobindo and the mother, both.
Well, you are wrapped in their grace.
Just that. I mean, in one word, it is grace and love, mother's love. And I only feel if I could love her even with a fraction of that love. And I have only this one aspiration that, frankly, I mean, supramentally is wonderful because it gives sense to the world to that extent. But that's not what I aspire for, supramental or transformation or any of these things. I just want to live for her and serve her for lives after lives. Till my last breath, I want to be conscious of her. And I don't mind coming again and again 1,000 times. But from the first moment, this is my condition. I have put it to her. I know it's a difficult condition, but for the divine, nothing is impossible. That from my moment of birth, I want to be conscious of you. I don't mind coming 1,000 times. Long back, I wrote a poem. You know, I do write poetry,
yes,
Hindi and English. And it started like that. 1,000 times shall I return from distant lands of sheltering sun, till every dust and every grain is molded into the perfect one. So this was published in Mother India also, long, long back. This was the first English poem after I turned towards Mother Asia. So that's my aspiration, to come again and again. Serve her and love her with all my being.
Well, it has been a deeply inspiring evening, and I hope that next time perhaps we could take up something on savagery.
Yes, yes, it's good. A joy.
Thank you.
Thank you so much to, you know, it's not about just sharing and recounting. You bring back all those states, once again you feel the same contact, the same embrace, which anyways is there, but it becomes concretized. So thank you so much. Thank you, Sushil.